beautiful day in paradise. And the paradise of life is what I'm talking about. Now, music is like poetry, and it has a message. And history is like a diamond that shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definition. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, I'm asking each and every one of our Quest listenership audience to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, and you know it, indeed, vibration. So I want to thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, we welcome each and every one of you, of course, for another edition of Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio, hosted by student host Justin Hill and Walter Pierce. They both come together presenting their individual segments on diamonds, definitions, and curtains. And to start out, I'd like to have our panelists and our student hosts say good morning. We're going to start out with the Black Librarian. Good morning, Tamar. Good morning.
Morning. How you doing?
All right. Glad to have you with us for another morning. And good morning, Justin, our student host.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. Good morning. And our next student host, Walter Pierce, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. And Tanisha Gardner, good morning.
Yeah, it's great.
Hi, everybody.
Okay. Thank you, and good morning, and absolutely it's good. And, of course, Mr. Shelton Harris, good morning. All right. Now, to start out, I want to hand it over to our student host, Mr. Walter Pierce.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. You see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, my diamond for this week is on Mansa Musa. In Mansa Musa was the ruler of the kingdom of Mali from 1312 to 1337. During his reign, Mali was one of the richest kingdoms of Africa, and Mansa Musa was among the richest individuals in the world. The ancient kingdom of Mali spread across parts of modern-day Mali, Senegal, the Gambia, Niger, and Nigeria, Chad, and Faso. Mansa Musa developed cities like Timbuktu and Gao, an important cultural centers. He also brought architects from the Middle East and across Africa to design new buildings for his city. Mansa Musa turned the kingdom of Mali into a sophisticated center of learning in the Islamic world. When Mansa Musa went on a pilgrimage to Mecca in 1324. His journey through Egypt caused quite a stir. The kingdom of Mali was relatively unknown outside of West Africa until this event. Arab writers from that time said that he traveled with an entourage of tens of thousands of people and dozens of camels, each carrying 136 kilograms of gold. While in Cairo, Mansa Musa met with Sultan of Egypt, and his caravan spent and gave away so much gold that the overall value of the gold decreased in Egypt for the next 12 years. Stories of his fabulous wealth even reached Europe. The Celtic Atlas, created in 1375 by Spanish cartographers, shows West Africa dominated by a depicted of Mansa Musa sitting on a throne, holding a nugget of gold in one hand and a golden staff in another. After the publication of this atlas, Mansa Musa cemented in the global imagination as a figure of stupendous wealth. After his return to Mecca, Mansa Musa began to revolutionize cities with his kingdom. He built mosques and large public buildings in the cities of Gao and most famously, Timbuktu. Timbuktu became a major Islamic university center during the 14th century due to Mansa Musa's development. Mansa Musa brought architects and scholars across the Islamic world into his kingdom and grew the reputation of Mali's kingdom. And his kingdom would continue to grow with huge amounts of wealth and a huge expansion across Africa. That concludes what I have for Mansa Musa. And the reason I'm doing this is because we don't really hear about really wealthy African men. And Mansa Musa was probably one of the wealthiest people of all time. Being able to travel with the amount of gold and wealth he had and to be able to spread it so much that it eventually decreased the value of it and caused huge amounts of inflation in Egypt. And being able to bring scholars and bring people across the world into Islamic centers and universities to study and continue the expansion of his empire shows the greatness and achievements that he was able to have during his reign. Again, I thank you. And this is student host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU.
We're back. Mansa Musa, the Black Librarian, we want to bring you up first and see if you have a comment or a statement as it pertains to Walter's segment.
Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I have my colleague here with me, and we were talking. Did he read that? I wanted to ask Walter a question. Did he read that from the book entitled Howard Finch?
No, I didn't. It was some research, I guess, from online.
Okay, you may want to check that book out. It's great information you gave in terms of, yeah, Born in Blackness. But it's great information. We concur with a lot of the points that that you made, and it's great. It's a great review. But the gold that dropped actually was not just in Africa. It impacted the gold price in Europe and other places throughout the world. So it was a major, major situation. My friend of mine, Tariq, pointed that out. But it was great information that you gave, eloquently done. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you so much. I want to bring in Tanisha Garner. Tanisha, you have a comment or a question as it pertains to Walter's segment?
I should be on.
Yeah, I know I definitely want to do more research on Mansa Musa, and just a simple fact that that he was the first one to be so powerful, to be a billionaire, especially in this time, to max out the billionaires now. And it's sad that when we look at society, they always point out what they're doing now and the power that they have. They're not really, you know, I guess helping communities out, versus when you look at Mansa Musa and the work that he's done, especially with the gold and how much he gave, that's very powerful and just makes us think if we were to ever get back our resources, you know, especially in Africa, how powerful and pivotal it would be in the change of our economic system within Africa and abroad.
Okay. Thank you so much. Mr. Harris, as usual, I'm coming to you, and I have to wonder if you have any insight on the fact that Mansa Musa, with his extraordinary wealth, and it almost seems like he was bolstering it, did it have a negative effect on him as other people checked him out and said, hey, this guy's from Africa? Where is this gold coming from? How is he that rich? Can we get some of that, too? I don't know if you got any insight on that, but Mr. Harris, I turn it over to you. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, well, first let me say that Mansa Musa was a great brother for what he did at his time. But, yeah, like you were saying, as far as the world economy at the time, it was all based on European values of what wealth was. So they thought he was beyond whatever it was. And yes, it did lead to some, oh, you got that, I want some of that too. It did lead to a lot of that at that time, you know. But, you know, one of the important parts I thought was happening is when Walter was saying that as he was spreading this little gold around, you know, it affected the economy of the rest of the world. And, you know, and in a way he could have been doing that on purpose, because the value of the gold doesn't equate to the value of the man. And in European mindsets, that's what makes a man, is his value in things, not his values as a person. So, you know, he could have been just like spreading it around, talking about, oh, this is what you like, this is what you want. Well, I got that. So, you know, what do you have that makes you better? But, you know, it was a good segment, and it could have been, you know, it could have been a lot. And seeing that he was a Muslim, just let me say Eid Mubarak to all my Muslim brothers and sisters around the world.
Okay. That sounds good enough to me. And definitely our featured artist, definitely cold. And when I say cold, I don't mean as in freezing. I mean as in check him out. Eric Benet. So much to show, yeah. Now we're back, and we're going to take a turn and come right back to Walter Pierce with his second segment of Definition.
Thank you. And this segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definition controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition for this week is migration. Immigration is the movement of people from one place to another with intentions of settling permanently or temporarily in a new location. Now, we know that migration has been going on ever since humans were developed. And migration is very important, especially because it shows a new trend of where a certain group of people are settling and how that new area is going to get affected. Now, when we think of human migration, you know, especially in African history, you know, migration, of course, of slavery when Africans were brought over by Europeans during slavery, there was a huge increase of Africans brought into America, obviously. And, you know, as it continued, as we progressed through slavery, and as we started to gain, you know, more freedoms, you start to see, you know, more integration of, you know, Africans and Europeans living and settling together in the issues that that has caused in our history. When we talk about things like housing and how African Americans will move into certain, you know, locations that were white dominated, and the value of housing and the value of property would just immediately go down when we will move in. And, you know, something like that is just unheard of and it's crazy to think about. When we actually take the time to reflect, you know, we couldn't really just move anywhere we wanted to. Every time we tried to just make something better for ourselves, it would end up being worse. Like, that is something that, you know, was a terrible time in history. And, you know, thank goodness that we were able to, you know, start progressing through that. And now, you know, we have more laws in place where, you know, stuff like that is illegal. You can't just bring down value, or you can't just discriminate against somebody because of their race, ethnicity, whatever. And, you know, we're seeing more and more, you know, integration with African Americans, you know, Europeans now, and we're seeing a better connection with the two. So, you know, there's still work, you know, to be done, and there still needs to be, you know, more asserted, more progression with, you know, the inclusion of African Americans and white people together. And, you know, it's just, I feel like that's going to take a little more time. And once we, as each other, you know, start to learn and accept one another for who we are and stop looking at, you know, just by our race, you know, it will be a better environment for all of us to live in, and there will be more migration, you know, better neighborhoods and things like that. So that was a lot, but I thank you again for listening to my segment on definitions. This is student host Walter Pierce on WSOU.
Okay. Before we go to another song, I'd like to bring in Tanisha Gardner. Tanisha, you heard his definition, and you heard all the things that he was saying. And I have to admit, Walter, you threw a lot of things up on the wall.
Right. And Tanisha, I want you to just pull some of those things off the wall that he's thrown and pick one or two and just talk about it for a moment and express yourself.
I like how he integrated migration with the situation, current situation that we're going through now, especially in the city of Newark. When you look at the word gentrification and how we are being gentrified, you know, by land being taken, because you know, in the city of Newark, the original land was owned by, I wouldn't even say owned by, because the Native Indians feel as though the earth is not owned by anyone, that it's all shared. The Lenape Native Americans and how their story has been, you know, not told the way that it needs to be told, and how we're dealing with it now, especially as African Americans, and how we are being disproportionately integrated into other parts by what's happening. And I think we really need to take a look at that. And especially when you look at low income housing or subsidized housing and how they're marketing it as affordable housing, and they're actually taking those properties that's low income and they're demolishing it and they're rebuilding it as affordable housing, but it's affordable from whom? And I think those are the things that we really have to look at, because when you think of migration, where are the people going? You know, and when you're building a city that is connected to the world by our airport, by seaport, and how wealthy the city of Newark is by over $1 billion, for instance, Prudential Center, you know, Prudential Financial, and how they put us in a place that we are not receiving that wealth. And what do we do to make sure that we're being protected and we be able to stay? You know, it's a difference when you choose to leave versus someone forces you out by laws such as redlining, which is still in effect right now. Or when you look at the ordinances, how they create a whole city to be blight, which means that you could come in as a developer and build what you feel as though the community should look like, and you are automatically outsourcing or automatically taking out a certain demographic. And these are the things that we have to be aware of, even though they might put in laws, for instance, like the inclusionary zoning, which is allegedly supposed to be a set aside of 20% of any new development. But when you look at that 20%, it's not constituting of how many apartments that we lost. So what is this great migration, or what you call it, the Trail of Tears? So it's something to look at.
Yeah, it sounds like you expressing a new Trail of Tears, which should not even be compared to the original one that we know of. But I want to bring in Mr. Harris. I was going to come to you at first, right? But same statement. You know, walking through a lot of things up on the wall, what sticks out in your mind as something to actually, you know, make a comment to?
Yeah, well, when he brought up the word migration, I was thinking about the original migration of black people populating the planet, you know, and how we were going from one place to another, and then wherever we stayed at, we became acclimated to that spot. And then some people moved on, some people, and that's what changed the face of humanity all around the planet. But originally, they were us. They were black people that populated the world in the original migration. And, you know, and the rest of the stuff he was talking about is important, about how we accept certain rules and regulations from our oppressor and we accept them as our own. You know, those are completely other stories that we can go on to for a long time. But it made me think about the original migration. So that part of it was really good for me.
I'm going to bring in the Black Librarian and ask you the same question. What sticks out in your mind out of all the things that Walter spoke about in his definition of migration?
I don't know if I agree with Tanisha. She brought up about some very, very sound, direct points as it relates to the cultural onslaught of not just African Americans and the Native Americans or the indigenous people of America, but the onslaught of cultures throughout the world based on the need for greed, the unconditional expression of greed and exploitation. At the end of the day, as the Indians had made mention of, they thought in terms of a spiritual sense that how can you own the earth? How can you own anything? So I would concur with Tanisha in terms of her point. She was straight on, and I appreciate what she said.
Okay. Well, I'm going to add my two cents and just say that the last song that was played was titled Superficial, right? And we have been led to believe by the colonizers that money is, you know, the end all and be all. To have possession is what it's all about. And that is not what it's all about in reality. As we, you know, try to assimilate into a society or a culture, I should say, that is not really ours. migration that Walter speaks about, you know, and Mr. Harris basically pulled out. There have been many migrations, but Mr. Harris spoke about the original migration. And when we begin to think that ownership of anything materialistic is permanent, we begin to think superficially. And so that's my two cents. As we continue on musically, we're going to come back, and I'm going to let Walter do his segment when we return on Eric Benet in our curtain segment. But here's another Eric Benet, Cold Cut.
Thank you.
now we're back, and it is time for our segment of curtains. You see, many recording artists have grown rich from the community, but this is our segment where we talk about how, you know, the artist has flipped it and gave the opportunity to the community.
Right, and giving back, in fact. Right, and so without any further ado, his lyrical and consciousness and musical genius, Mr. Eric Benet will be featured today, and I now present to you student host Walter Pierce and his segment of Curtain.
Thank you. And, you know, Eric Benet has supported, you know, a couple of foundations, but they all relate to each other in a certain way. You see, he invested in Artists for New South Africa, the Shaka Khan Foundation, In a Perfect World, National Park Conservation Association, Treatment Action Campaign. And the main causes he supports is at-risk and disadvantaged youth, autism, children, environment, women, and AIDS and HIV. Now, the first couple of foundations I mentioned really talk about how to get more people involved, more, you know, youth who are at a disadvantage, you know, in struggling situations, opportunity to pursue their career in music. You know, also found, also him trying to found new talent in, you know, underappreciated areas, like a place like South Africa, to name one. You know, a lot of artists that might have the talent to be able to make it big, but all they need is the opportunity to be able to. You know, he's out there helping to get more people involved with that. You know, getting the youth more involved in music, really exposing the talents, the hidden talents that the world has yet to hear. And also being able to give his time and money into something like, you know, taking care of the environment, which a lot of people take very lightly, but, you know, we have to be able to take care of the place that we live in, you know, doing things like, you know, environmental control, conserving certain areas, not just building and constructing everywhere, you know, just constantly tearing things down, tearing, you know, forests, things of that nature just down, but keeping them up, preserving them so that we could preserve our earth, you know, was something important that he has also been a part of. And, you know, just another prime example of an artist, you know, who used his fame and wealth to be able to help others is something that is really important for all artists, you know, to be able to do. And that concludes my segment on Eric Benet. And besides that, I think we'll transition to some music by the one and only Eric Benet.
Okay, and enough of the cold cuts for now. We're going to come back. We got another one to close out with, but forget about closing out. But it is time for our next student host, Mr. Justin Hill, the real deal, to take it away with his first segment of Definition. Good morning again, Justin.
Good morning, everybody. I want to thank everybody for listening to me to do my first segment, which is diamonds. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. And for my definition segment, I am going to do John Henrik Clark. And John Henrik Clark is a historian and a black nationalist. He was a pioneer in the formation of African studies in the United States. Clark decided his life to collecting what he argued was the prevailing view that people of Africa and of African descent had no history worthy of study. Over the span of his career, Clark became one of the most respected historians of African and African-American history. Clark was born on New Year's Day, 1915, in Union Springs, Alabama. In 1932, Clark left the South at age 18, and he traveled by boxcar to Chicago, Illinois. He then migrated to New York City, New York, where he came under the tutelage of noted scholar Arthur A. Schomburg. While in New York City's Harlem, Clark undertook the study of Africa, studying its history while working full-time. In 1949, the New School of Social Research asked Clark to teach courses in a newly created African Study Center. 19 years later, Clark founded the African Heritage Studies Association in 1968 and was principally responsible for the creation of the Black and Puerto Rican Studies Department at Hunter College in New York City. He later lectured at Cornell University as a distinguished visiting professor of African history. Clark's numerous works include A New Approach to African History in 1967. Also, in 1993, he created African People and World History, and the book Who Painted Jesus Black in 1975. He died in New York City in 1998. And that concludes my segment on diamonds. I thank you guys for listening. Again, this is student host Justin Hill on WSLU.
Okay. I don't have to ask you why you did that, because you pretty much explained in that representation. I want to bring in the Black librarian, and absolutely. And I know you're moving about, but I just want to say before you start speaking that noted African American historian John Henry Clark wanted to bring to surface the fact that we as a people weren't represented as having a history that amounted to anything. And he dispelled all of that with factual, researched information. And on that note, I hand to the Black librarian.
One of the things that people have to understand about Clark, and it, not just the way he actually synthesized historical data, but that he was autodidactic. One of the things that Schomburg had taught him how to do was to be autodidactic and to think outside the box as it relates to history. And it wasn't just him. It was part of the environment in Harlem. It was a part of the Harlem Renaissance. You know, you had the African Blood Brotherhood. You had a lot of things going on. You had the what do you call that? So many different. Yeah, it was so many different groups that existed during that particular time. Black bibliophiles that was actually working diligently to make sure that our history was held to high esteem. So it was just so much work that he have done. And he actually changed the dynamics of how history is seen forever. Dr. Ben Jokinen, you're also going and talking about so many other scholars, Jerusha Houston, that did really John G. Jackson. The list goes on and on and on of people that sacrificed their lives to make sure that our history was still in due form in such a way that it's respected and held to high esteem.
Okay.
Well, I just want you to define, you said didactic. Could you please define what that means?
Autodidactic means auto, meaning self, didactic meaning taught. So he was self-taught. Schomburg gave him the necessary tools to think outside the box, but he took that and ran a marathon for the rest of his life as it relates to Africana studies.
Okay. I want to turn it back over to Justin Hill, the real deal, as he now does, and I'm correct on this one, can't be wrong, his segment of definition. Take it away, Justin.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And like you said, my next segment is going to be on definitions. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. If my definition segment, it will be on the word talent. And a talent is the skill that someone has to do something very well, and also that people usually like and that's difficult. Someone who has talent is called talented. Talented people may have more than one talent. Talent is sometimes learned, but in some cases is natural born. People often value talents that are entertaining, beautiful, or impressive for a different reason, like music, dancing, acting, or sports. Even if someone has talent, they may still have to work very hard if they want to hone it well. Some people become quite good at something even if they do not have much talent, but only if they are willing to work very hard at the skill for a period of time. Also, the word talent used to mean a weight and a piece of money in Greece and Rome. This is the sense in which it is used in the Bible in the parable of the five talents. And the reason why I chose talent is because many people that I know say they're not talented because they can't do certain things. But I believe that many people are talented and they have talent inside them. And that concludes my segment on definitions. Again, I thank you guys for listening to student host Justin Hill.
Okay, thank you so much. This is a wrap for our program. And I'm going to come back and ask Justin to close us out because Walter had to skip out real fast, right, and leave us a little bit earlier. But
we all have God-given talent, and sometimes a person has to find out what they're not good at in order to find out what they're best at. And with that being said, closing remarks for the Black Librarian. Take it away. You got 3 seconds. 2, 1.
The group was, thank you. Have a good day weekend.
Mr. Harris, take it away.
Okay, none of the records you played were by Eric Benet.
Okay, thank you for that correction. Denisha, help me out here. I'm singing.
We need a book club with all this great information. Thank you, Justin.
Approaching the railroad crossing.
Justin, close us out, man. I need a savior here.
I want to thank everyone for joining us on Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall. I want to thank everyone and make sure you check out our social medias on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And Quest Youth Radio is
The best radio. Great job, Justin. This should be by Eric Benet.
Like Eric Benet.
I'm not so systematic. It's just that I'm an addict for your love.